Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Our guest this week is Blake Jefferson from Portland, Oregon. His expert categories are board games, indie video games, knitting, and modern horror movies. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. All right, Blake, all the way from Portland, Oregon, a trivia host out there. Are you ready to try out some Lockdown Trivia today?
Yes, I'm so excited.
I'm glad to have you. All these topics look
really fun and inventive.
Blake, where would you like to start your Lockdown game today?
Let's start with also a knitting term.
All right. So in this category, I'm going to give Blake a clue that has nothing to do with knitting, but the correct answer is a knitting term or abbreviation commonly associated with knitting. So we will see how this essentially potpourri with the knitting backdoor round goes. Here is your unlocked question. The simplified logo for the TV network that brought us Courage the Cowardly Dog is just these two letters.
It's Cartoon Network, I would believe, and the abbreviation would be CN.
CN is correct. Apparently, that's the cable needed for a cable stitch.
Needle. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Cartoon Network, CN, your first correct answer. Off to a good start here. What do you want to do with your one key?
Let's just go to unlocked board games.
All right, your unlocked board games question. In this category, I will just give a two-sentence summary of a board game. You will try to tell me which one I'm talking about. Here we go. Collect colored train cards to build routes across a map. Collect secret destination tickets for bonus points.
That's our fun train game, Ticket to Ride.
Don't bite my head off. As an avid board gamer who was very excited to see you put this category in, I have never played Ticket to Ride.
I think I've only played it once.
That makes me feel a little better. It's just fine. So popular that I feel weird having not played it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, now you have two keys.
Yep. I'm just seeing what I'm trying to calibrate. So I think I just want to do the unlocked ones. So let's try indie video games.
All right. In this category, I will give you the year an indie video game came out. For those that are not familiar with the term indie, we're not talking about the 500 or something like that. These are just video games that were independently published, not from one of the big publishers. So I'll give you the year it came out, and then I'll give you a basic gist of the game, and you'll try to identify which game I'm talking about. Here's your unlocked clue. 2016, a farming simulation game that lets you build the farm of your dreams, form relationships, and explore caves.
If it's what I'm thinking, it's my wife's most played game of all time. And it's made by Concerned Ape, and it's called Stardew Valley.
I'm glad it is what you're thinking, and I'm glad your wife enjoys it. Stardew Valley is correct. That is another one on this list of, as an esports coach and avid gamer, it was weird to put these on here for me because I know that I'm missing out, but that was one I haven't played either.
I've tried, I've opened it. It's just not for me.
Fair enough. To each their own. But to you, three keys.
Three keys. Well, now I'm nervous because even if I get an unlocked one wrong, I lose all of them, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Let's do also a knitting term for three keys.
All right, we're going to jump up to that. Here is your clue and also a knitting term. This non-independent country has more castles per square mile than any country in the world.
Non-independent country?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I'm thinking of the knitting back door. Most castles per square mile, you said?
That is what this country is known for, yes. Among other things, I'm sure. I don't want to disparage the folks who live here, but that's what the clue says, at least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's such things like German cast-ons, like Icelandic-style sweaters. It's obviously not Iceland. So spread out. It's got to be like France, Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, Spain. The only thing that like I think would work is Germany, but it seems too easy to be a three key. And Germany isn't a knitting term. So an independent country would be Germany, France, United States of America, Canada. Most castles per square mile. That's crazy. I'm just going to start naming non-independent country. Most castles. Damn, this is a crazy question because it might be like a knitting abbreviation. So there's like DRC. Democratic Republic of Congo. Highly doubt that has the most castles. And DRC, I don't think is a decrease. I guess that could mean decrease right cable. But is the DRC a non-independent country? I haven't had to use my brain this hard in a long time.
We did jump up from the unlock to the three keys. So yeah. We didn't do a lot of stretching before this question.
You're right. Where might have the most castles? I just like can't get Western Europe out of my head, but those are all independent countries. Liechtenstein, Monaco, Andorra. Well, we could be here all day. I'll say DRC.
Not a bad guess, and I loved listening to hearing you think it out. This is a crutch of mine writing trivia. I need to think of a better way to explain when I'm focusing on the United Kingdom than to call it something other than non-independent countries. The correct answer here is Wales.
Okay. I don't know what the knitting term is, but...
Wales are vertical columns of loops in knitting.
All right.
Even spelled the same without the H, which I was surprised.
Sure, yeah. It's probably a style that comes from that area.
But nothing to fear, because we have plenty of places to get back into our game here. I do have to take your three keys you got, but now we have bottlenecked a little bit. So let's see where you go.
Let's do horror movie.
Okay. So in this category, Blake likes modern horror movies. So what I've done is written clues that include the name or are the name of a modern horror movie in the answer. So here is your unlocked question. JoJo's debut single, Leave, in 2004, had what parenthetical in its title that shares its name with a 2017 horror film directed by Jordan Peele?
Well, that's gotta be Get Out.
And JoJo's saying, Leave, Get Out. That is correct.
I've never heard of that person or that song.
I would be surprised if you looked it up after this and had not heard the chorus. Get Out is correct, nonetheless. So, you got back in your winning ways here, and you have a key again, and a wide-open set of choices what you can do with one key. Where would you like to go next?
Let's go board games.
All right. Here is the two-sentence how to play of a board game for one key. Work as a team to stop four diseases from spreading. Share cards, cure diseases, and prevent outbreaks to win.
It would be surprising if this wasn't released in 2020, right?
I don't know off the top of my head when it was released, is certain world events that would make that fitting.
Pandemic?
It is pandemic, yes. This is one I had in my classroom for a good like brain break for kids.
I remember playing it on a plane for way too long.
You played it on a plane?
Yeah, which was a dumb idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces.
No, there's a phone version.
Oh, okay. That's fair enough. I'm sitting here like picturing you with Pandemic on your lap and moving pieces around. They're not even like pieces. They're like cubes. It's like, it's not even shaped. It's just a cube anyway.
Yeah.
For those that have played it, they'll appreciate that that's not exactly a plane friendly game.
No.
However, you have two keys and nobody cares about the cubes. So what do you want to do with your two keys?
Let's do board games, two keys then.
All right, let's climb up and see what happens. Here's your clue. Draw cards to move along a colorful path. First to reach the castle wins. No reading or strategy needed.
Draw card? This seems like super simple. What's the, I guess Candyland would be my first guess. I don't know. I haven't played Candyland in forever. You draw cards. Well, so it's not Trivial Pursuit because you have to read the cards. Path, castle. Does Candyland use cards? The fuck? It's not the Game of Life. It's not Sorry. See, with as little strategy as it has, Sorry does have strategy. Let's just say Candyland.
I'm glad you did, Blake, because it is Candyland.
Jeez.
You can turn your brain off and play that game for sure.
Yeah.
And you've got three keys, which you will not use to unlock a box of Candyland anytime in your future, I don't think. But you can unlock a three-key question or below. Where would you like to go?
Let's see about indie video games. Let's just do one.
All right. Indie video games for one key. Your clue is this. 2020. A roguelike dungeon crawler where you play as a son attempting to escape the underworld.
Oh, I love this game. I didn't know it was made in 2020. I thought it came out earlier than that. But I think this is my all-time played game on Steam. We play as our boy Zagreus. We try to defeat our mean daddy Hades.
That is correct. Hades. I didn't want to say whose son you were in the clue, because that would be a little too on the nose. But you are correct in any case. And now you have four keys, and you can go anywhere you want on the board.
I did that because I wanted to see the also a knitting term four keys.
All right. Here we go. Your hypothetically hardest clue, and also a knitting term, is this. This model explains the structure of the plasma membrane of animal cells, as many components such as phospholipids, proteins, cholesterols, and carbohydrates.
This model, just trying to think of the knitting backdoor. Not a science person, but I'm not like a molecular. So I'm thinking of like, I don't really know what I don't even know what like a model is. For some reason, like ATP is tickling something, but that's different. I think that's not like a model. That's not how you draw something. I'm not gonna get it.
It is the mosaic model.
Mosaic model.
Also, more specifically, the fluid mosaic model. But I would have accepted either mosaic or fluid mosaic. And unfortunately. For the second time only this game, by the way, even though it there've been some tough questions here, only the second time I have to take your keys away. And you have some bonus questions to answer now because right. We have no more unlocked questions.
Yep.
Which bonus question would you like to tackle first to get back into your game?
Let's see. Stormy trivia.
All right. Here's a question I think Blake should know something about. Let's see what happens. Your question is this. Prior to the pandemic and despite the rainy weather, 5.3% of Portlanders commuted to work how? Far exceeding the national average of 0.5%.
It's gotta be by bicycle.
Obviously, where you're from, you are correct. 1 in 20 is kind of crazy.
That's pretty wild. And what's the time frame?
That's up until the pandemic. Obviously, yeah. When that happened, it changed, and it's declined a little bit since then, but as of 2020, 1 in 20 Portlanders were biking to work.
Portlanders.
Yeah, Portlanders.
There you go.
Okay, whatever. I think I said it right the first time, didn't I? And you can get back into your categories, or you could ask more bonus questions. It is up to you.
I'm probably... Oh, man, I should have done deep cuts first, because I'm going to get it wrong for sure. And then I'll be down a key.
If you... If you miss deep cuts, it does not take any away. Bonus questions can't hurt you.
But they do help you, so I can correct two keys. Let's do deep cuts.
All right, here are five songs from the first album of one of Blake's favorite music genres. He'll try to identify the artist. Your songs are this. Excuse me. This is from your 21st entry, Ender Yorok, and I zoned in on that. You probably couldn't see for the lights, but you were staring straight at me. Still take you home. Riot van. Red light indicates doors are secured. Perhaps vampires is a bit strong, but...
Well, so you kind of showed your hand by saying 2000s.
A smidge, yes.
But that could be anywhere from 2000 to 2009.
And they could still be playing.
Oh, yeah, of course. I know the song Riot Van, but for some reason it's bringing like Rancid, and that's obviously not indie pop or rock, that's punk. I feel like this is the most kick yourself worthy category.
It plays tough every single episode. Only a couple have got it, and every time after I say it, they're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it is kind of designed that way, I guess.
So we have Vampire One. It's not a vampire, but red lights indicate doors are locked. What is it?
Red light indicates doors are secured.
Riot Van. I feel like this is, let's say, Franz Ferdinand.
I do love Franz Ferdinand, and that's a great guess. However, my favorite song by this band is Why'd You Only Call Me When You're High? This is the Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, yep. I never would have got there.
Okay, fair enough. That makes at least there's some peace of mind of that, you know?
Yep. They're not. I'm not huge on them.
That's fair. Other people are.
Yes. Yes, they are.
In any case, you didn't lose any keys and you still have one. So you could enter either of those one key questions, or you could go after any of the other three bonus questions. What's the next step?
Knitting Terms has been burning me. Let's do horror movie.
All right. This is the includes a horror movie title category. Here is your question. What movie, based on a children's fantasy book by C.S. Lewis, pitted the voice acting talents of Liam Neeson against the regular acting talents of Tilda Swinton?
So it's a live action movie with like an animated aspect to it. And the one keyer, huh? We don't know a year. The problem is I don't know like any C.S. Lewis. But like, I'm trying to like metagame the hint or the category, I guess. So like, or the question writing itself. So like voice acting talents of Liam Neeson against the regular acting talents of Tilda Swinton. So the word against is like kind of out of place. The word regular, or the words regular acting is... Like, regular is a weird word, but it's not like Coraline or Corpse Bride, because that's entirely animated claymation. And, like, I'm trying to get, like, an age range, because Liam Neeson and Tilda Swinton are, like, the same, kind of the same age.
Actually, off the top of my head, I don't know what the age difference between them is. Liam Neeson doesn't seem to have aged in 20 years, so I don't have a great grasp on what...
But like, what roles would they be playing? Right. I'm not going to get it. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Is correct.
No, it's not.
It is. 2015, The Witch was one of the biggest horror movies of the year.
The Vivitch.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is correct.
Of course it's a one key.
Yes. Could Holy just be that happened shit. To play. It could just be that happened to play harder just because you didn't know the C.S. Lewis book. So
that's literally the only one I know.
Well, it is all you needed to know. C.S. Lewis is not going to come back up in this game. Spoiler alert, folks. I hate to spoil the C.S. Lewis fans, but you now have two keys from Stormy Trivia and your one key question. You have two keys and some better choices for where to go with them. What would you like to do next?
I'm scared. I'm not going to see, like, the latter half of this board. Let's go also a knitting term.
Also a knitting term for how many keys?
One.
For one key. Your clue is this. There are over 6,000 known species of this amphibian, ranging anywhere from a half inch long to 15 inches long.
I know this one. There's only so many amphibians. When you make a big mistake in knitting and you have to... work it back for several rows, you start ripping it out, and they call it rip it, rip it, rip it for frogging.
Frog is correct. And you are back on a roll. You now have three keys.
I gotta go board games, I guess.
All right. It's been treating you well so far. Your three key board game clue is this. Play as one of several asymmetric woodland factions. Each one has its own rules and way to win. Dominate the forest together or alone.
This sounds like... I didn't know you could play it alone, but I guess you can. I think I've played this game. I think I own this game. I think I played it once, and it took us like over 6 hours to play. Spirit Island?
Fortunately, it is not Spirit Island.
Oh, is it Scythe?
This is Root.
Never heard of it.
Oh, man, it's a great popular game.
Root?
Yes, Root. You got to look it up and play it. Add it to the collection.
I'm looking it up right
now. Yes.
Never seen it.
Root is a very, very popular game right now. But that is the nature of indie, is they kind of pop up in spurts, I guess.
8.1 on Board Game Geeks. Pretty good.
Yeah. Put it on the to-do list for sure.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Blake, I had to take your keys again.
Yeah.
And now we have three bonus questions.
Yeah.
And we've got to get two of them to get back in our categories today.
Yep.
Where would you like to start? All right. In this category, I'll give you three events. You tell me what year they happened. The hashtag MeToo movement gained global traction. The Parkland school shooting incited the March for Our Lives protests. And Meghan Markle and Prince Harry got married.
I am pretty sure this is 2016.
It was actually more recent than that. Not by much, though.
18?
It's 2018, unfortunately.
Okay.
Our back is now against it, but...
Yeah. We're almost toast. We're almost cooked.
I have hope for you here. We'll see how it goes, I suppose.
I'm here to set a new low. Let's go to our Passover question.
Yes, National Blank Day. Today, as of recording, is the start of the Passover. So here's your question. While the Passover begins on varying dates of our 12-month calendar, it always begins on the 15th day of what month in the 13-month Hebrew calendar that sounds like a car brand?
It's a fun hint. I obviously don't know the Hebrew calendar. Start naming car brands. Chevy, Ford, Alpha, Bet. So there's Alfa Romeo. Alpha is the first letter in the alphabet, in the Hebrew alphabet. Or no, it's Aleph. What month is it? It's March. The odds of it starting with an M seem low. Mercedes. But it sounds like a car brand, which means they're not spelled the same. Let's say if I get this wrong, it's over. Right?
If you get it wrong, you still get to ask the before and after question and see whether it would be 10 or 11 points.
Yeah. What are we doing here? Let's say Fiat.
The month of the Passover is always the 15th of Nisan.
Nisan, like Nissan.
As in Nissan, yes. In fact, in some languages, it's spelled the exact same. Typically in English, it's spelled with just one S for Nisan. Sure. But Nisan 15 is when the Passover begins. And now, Blake... Had a rough go of it for sure, but there's still 10 correct answers on the board so far. And we will get to ask our before and after clue to see if we're going to have 11 for a final score today.
I think my strategy of, I think where it all went wrong was when I jumped up to the three key for my very third question.
Something to learn from. I know you'll be on a future episode with maybe the same, maybe different categories. And I know you'll approach it from a different angle and we'll see how that one goes.
Yeah.
But your before and after clue to end our game today is this. Nashville's signature style of poultry has disrupted theaters everywhere as teenagers scream a line from the movie while throwing popcorn.
That's funny. I was just watching some really dumb YouTuber talk about how he's watching these videos and he knows it's wrong, and like you can be an adult and know things are wrong, but still, and like you know every aspect of it. People are doing it are wrong. It's hurtful to the other people watching the movie. It's hurtful for the people that have to pick up all the popcorn, and you can still laugh at the video.
Yep, that's pretty much exactly how I feel scrolling through my TikTok For You page.
Yeah, I think, well, so don't crucify me, but I do not love Nashville hot chicken. I tried it at four different places when I was in Nashville. Wasn't good. None of it was good. I think Portland does a Nashville hot chicken better.
That is a hot take.
Yep. Hot take for hot chicken. And so that's the before, and I guess the after would be lava, which I don't really get the reference. Is it chicken lava? Hot chicken lava?
Final answer?
Yeah.
Correct answer for this one is hot chicken jockey.
Jockey.
Nashville hot chicken jockey. This before and after.
I just don't get it.
Look up the chicken jockey video. That's what they all scream when it goes officially berserk.
Yeah. He was repeating it over and over again. I don't know. I had lava in my head.
Blake, you got 10 points today. Still double digits in what is a tough game, because when it's your expert categories, there's a high bar to reach. And you did pretty well today. And I know that you'll be back on and aim to improve upon that score.
Solid 40%.
It is what it is. Any plugs or things coming up, Blake, that you want to shout out before you get out of here?
If you're in Portland and you want to play some independent trivia, come down to Level Beer. That's where I do trivia every Wednesday, 6:30. It's free. It's fun. You got nothing to lose. Can win prizes. Good beer. I've been doing it for a while now. So I've got a lot of really great regulars to offset the ego karma of plugging something myself. Let's listen to another podcast called Away with Words. It's an etymology podcast. Two hosts. One, they're both lexicographers and they help write dictionaries.
And
it's a call-in show, and people call in and ask them about phrases or sayings or words, and they give them their best effort in answer to where a certain phrase came from.
That sounds like something I'm immediately interested in addition to the free trivia and good beer, by the way.
It's also a treasure trove for trivia if you happen to be a question writer.
Beware future players of my new etymology content I will be taking
for
in.
Real.
All right, Blake, you were a joy to have, honestly. You can tell when somebody hosts trivia nights, one trivia host to another. It was a lot of fun to have you. I love that you respect the game and you enjoy it. And I hope
never
to
said I was
soon.
Good at it.
I hope to have you back soon to continue to respect and enjoy it at the very least.
Yes.
All right, Blake, thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Thanks again, Blake, for being on the show. You were so fun to hang out with, and I know you did not do as well as you hoped, but I know you were very excited to sign up again, and we will have you on a future Lockdown Trivia episode. Let's finally take the hood off and talk strategy of this game, folks. I think that Caleb dabbled with danger, but managed to get back through the bottleneck and blow open his game. Obviously here, Blake was not as successful in that. I have played this game on episode 9 and kind of shown what I think is the best strategy. Others have used the same strategy. In Lockdown Trivia, hypothetically, if you start one category and run it, you can then use the keys you get to open the harder questions until you fall. In a perfect world, if you know every single question, you get through it. The strategy of this game and the game theory of this game comes when you do finally miss a question, deciding where to go next. That's why we still haven't seen a perfect episode, though we've got close. And so I'm really excited to see when that will finally happen. It is inevitable. It's not a matter of if, I don't think, but when. And so, you know, use the game theory of this game, lean into it, and try to run a category. When you get through that, great, keep doing it. When you fall, that's when your decisions need to be made. So I just kind of wanted to say, you know, the unwritten thought process of this game up to this point has been try to figure it out, everybody. Do what you want to do. This is what I think is the best strategy. I could also be entirely wrong. And Caleb proved that. Then again, Blake reinforced that. No shade. It's just what I think this game is built to do as its creator. So I'm interested to see what people have for the future of the game strategy. I'm interested to hear feedback on the reflecting of previous games. And in the meantime, keep sending in those expert categories, because we're having a lot of fun researching them and writing questions for them. Our bonus question from this game comes from the Modern Horror Movies category, and it is this. Originally developed in St. Louis, Missouri, what citrus soda with a high caffeine content is now more heavily associated with the southern states of Tennessee and North Carolina? While you're thinking on that, I want to thank Blake one more time for being on this episode of Lockdown Trivia and invite you to sign up for your own episode. Find the link in the description to sign up. You'll need only 4 extra categories and your favorite music genre. And hey, while you're in that description, don't be afraid to tip your host. The correct answer to our bonus question from this episode is one of my favorites, Sundrop. New episodes of Lockdown Trivia every Wednesday morning to help you cut through the middle of your week. Check back in every week. Rate the show 5 stars, if you will. And in the meantime, stay curious, keep having fun with trivia, and let's try to unlock our brains together, one key at a time. I'm Dalton McGee. We'll see you next week.
No hints, huh?
I can't give any hints, unfortunately.
I'm usually the one writing the questions.
Trust me, I know the feeling. I think being a trivia host gives you a certain sense of safety when it comes to playing trivia, and then you do it and someone else writes and you're like, oh shit.
Yep.
I'm going to read it one more time on mic just so I can put it in the right way.
Okay.
Prior to the pandemic and despite the rainy weather, 5.3% of Portlanders commute. I said it again.
Yep.
Portlanders.
Yep.